Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could
stay in the cells at long enough.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Originally from the small town of Finch, Ontario, Greg Hanna now calls Nashville home. Over the last few years, he's released a self-titled CD featuring several hits, including She Means Everything to Me, Song in My Head, Singing to the Radio, and the new smash single and video, What Kind of Love Are You On? He's also had a song he co-wrote, recorded by country star Sammy Kershaw. Let's find out now what Hannamania is all about. My pleasure to welcome to the show, Greg Hanna. Hey, Greg.
Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, great to talk to you.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, you're up there in old Barrie, Ontario, and I'm down here in Nashville, Tennessee, just having a ball, and it seems like we're sitting beside each other cutting up.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, exactly. There's no distance here on the show. And weather-wise, I was telling you, obviously, before we went on the air about the day of snow in Barrie we had last Thursday. Woke up to snow. Luckily, it was gone very quickly. But you're talking about how great the weather there is in Nashville.
Well, you know, that snowstorm you just talked about is exactly how we like snow in Nashville. Here today, gone tomorrow.
That's terrific. Lots of exciting things have been happening for you over the last few years, building up to now, of course, and the brand new single, What Kind of Love Are You On? Now, you got a video out for that as well, and it's a really fun video. Was it as much fun to film as it is for us to watch?
You know what? It was actually a blast. You go through a whole process, Dave, you write the song, you record it, and then you're excited, and then you have to try and find someone that's going to portray another message or the same message, you know, out to the viewers and the fans out there. And well, I'll tell you what, it was the first time I've ever got to produce my own video, so I actually had my hands wet in it a little bit, and got a director from here in Nashville. Man, it was just great. And obviously, for anyone that's seen it out there, you know, CMT is being real great to us in both U.S. and Canada, and people are seeing it all the time, and we had Two-Foot Fred cameo in it, and so the song is about party. We wanted to get the party summertime thing going on, and I think we definitely hit a home run with that in the video.
Definitely, yeah, it's a great video, great song as well, and we'll come back and talk more about the song as we get to playing it later in the show. Back in Canada, you came across an old Sears guitar in your aunt's cold storage room, and I understand that the sight of that's kind of got you inspired to chase this dream.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, the funny thing is that's going back a long, long time. I was just a little guy, and that was probably the guitar I graduated to shortly after the Mickey Mouse guitar I got for Christmas one year. But, you know, I think we've all gotten those. But, that's a true story. I mean, it was one of those things that had one string on it. I mean, I can still remember it as plain as day. And my mom was down there with my aunt getting some canned goods or some jarred stuff. And I asked her if I could, you know, play it or whatever, or have it or put strings on it. And she said, you know, if you want to string it up and make it like new, then you're welcome to have it. And that's still hanging in, not in the cold storage room, but it's hanging at my mom and dad's right now. But it does have more than one string on it.
Great to hold on to it, isn't it? To show how far you've come.
I can remember back when I was a kid, Dave. You know, sitting in my bedroom, trying to figure it out. You know, the strings were about 3 inches off the fretboard, and that's, you know, luthiers today just love guys like me because they say I've got the grip of death. You know, I can wear out a fretboard in no time.
Right. And I found it interesting, too, and you grew up, I guess, on a dairy farm. Now, that's in Finch, Ontario. Is that like the Ottawa Valley area?
Definitely the Ottawa Valley. If you took out a map and you found, well, actually it's on the map, but it's a little town of about 450 people, and it's pretty much dead center right between Ottawa and Cornwall. So definitely out in the sticks a little bit, but what a great raising and a great way of life growing up and all that fun stuff, and definitely gave me lots of ideas for writing songs now. So I wouldn't have it any other way.
And I found it interesting that a quote from you that you grew up knowing all about country music and not a lot about rock and roll. Mainly country was what you listened to, and I can relate to that because growing up I listened to a bit of other stuff, but country was definitely the main music I was passionate about, and you know, buying all the albums and listening to all the stuff. What was sort of some of the artists, and just can you talk about your country music influences as you grew up?
You know, I joke with people a lot, you know, when we get into those conversations, and you know, I cut my teeth on, learning, you know, I was a singer, though. I was singing in church when I was just a wee boy, and if I want to learn how to play guitar, I'd learn how to play the songs that, you know, my folks had on 8-tracks. You know, I was learning every Merle Haggard song, every Charlie Pride song, every Buck Owens song, you know, you name it. And
right.
Then, of course, then you know, Ricky Skaggs came out in the mid-'80s and Dwight Yoakam and, you know, started making everything really, really, you know, up-tempo. And, you know, it was lots of interesting things going on in country music, and that just held my attention, and I just went,
yeah.
You know, went for it kind of thing. And but I have to say, and I've said this in many interviews, is that, you know, I can remember as far back as, you know, who knows how old I was, but sitting there with my folks on a Sunday night watching The Family Brown, you know, on TV. And it was that influence that made me want to be an entertainer and play country music.
That's pretty amazing. And actually, over the years, I've had a chance to write with Barry Brown, of course, from Family Brown.
As well. It's very interesting. Barry and I have written a bunch of songs together.
That's amazing.
There you go.
Very cool. What a great writer, right?
Barry's a great guy. I mean, that whole family is, you know, exceptionally talented.
That is terrific. Now, the album that's out now is a self-titled album of yours, which I mentioned some of the hits off the top there. What was it like hearing the first one on the radio when you actually got to hear it played?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, when we put the record together, I never wanted to just put an album together, just to put it together. So that's why all of the listeners out there have heard singles from Greg Hanna, and they haven't been able to purchase anything. So I didn't want to put a record together to put it together. So, you know, we've had, you know, a handful of top 20 hits, you know, 3 top 10s, you know, and Song in My Head, Singing to the Radio. I mean, we've had a great run out there at radio in Canada. And so when we got the record deal last year and put everything together, it was a great time, and it took some convincing. But hey, just think, I was almost like putting a hits record together for my first album. It was very interesting.
Yeah, exactly, because we recognize a lot of the songs. Of course, I've heard them all over the radio. And I thought it was cool with Singing to the Radio that you did, I guess you personalized them for different radio stations.
Yeah, whenever that song was out as a single, we definitely spent a lot of extra time. And the funny thing is, for those of you out there and listening that know who Sean Hogan is, the year that song came out, I was actually on the Sean Hogan Canadian Country Christmas Tour, and I did all the liners for that song while I was in hotel rooms with my computer while we were going down the road. So there's a little bit of history there.
That's pretty cool. So when you were singing the call letters where you added into the part with the girl singing to, you did that right on your computer?
Did that right on the computer, just like we're doing now. Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty cool. You're also part of – what's that?
I was just gonna say about Singing to the Radio, you know, we actually re-recorded it for we recut it a little bit more on the edge for the album just to give people a little extra fun whenever they're playing it.
Oh, great. Now, you're also part of a pretty big tour, Toby Keith. What is that like? Now, that must be pretty big crowds in attendance.
You know, it's actually incredible. You know, it's anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000 people a night, and we were real fortunate. I mean, we could talk about it forever, but starting a year ago last January, things have been clocking like clockwork for me, and, you know, it's just – every time the phone rings, I'm just flabbergasted as to what's happening. But, you know, we were putting the album together last a year ago spring, Next thing I know, It's a Man's Job comes out. Then I get asked to be on tour and open up for Jeff Foxworthy, which was incredible. And everything, you know, and I walked the red carpet with the CMAs. We had a top 40 in the States with It's a Man's Job. And then and now, you know, with the new single doing so well and getting a chance to be out with Toby Keith and Trace Adkins, I mean, wow.
pretty big company to be in.
It's I'll tell you, it's an honor to be out with the seasoned dudes that are making making country music happen right now, and I'm just really happy to be part of the process.
Let's turn to a song, and you made mention of it a few moments ago, from the self-titled CD called It's a Man's Job. Do you want to talk, Greg, about the writing on it, and then we'll share it with our listeners?
Well, you know, the interesting thing with It's a Man's Job, I mean, was one of those deals. The album, we had all the songs chosen for the album, and we were sitting in the boardroom because we were, you know, with our producers and the people at the label, and we're just sitting there talking about the order of the songs, and one of my producers comes in last minute and says, "Oh my God, you got to hear this song. It's called It's a Man's Job, and if you don't cut it, Trace Adkins is cutting it tomorrow for his album."
Wow.
And I was like, "Well, let's hear it." And so we listened to it, and in about, you know, we said, "Oh yeah, that's incredible." Within the end of the day, I had my guys and my band in the studio, and we cut the song, and that's how you hear it today.
Pretty exciting to have a song like that just kind of come out of the blue to you, and you love it, and it's recorded.
It's you know, it's definitely a plus living in Music City, because, you know, you can be in a studio making it happen with the snap of the fingers if everything's going, you know, going in your favor at the time.
Yeah.
So we were in the right place at the right time, and we were able to draw on, you know, we didn't have to hire studio musicians because we brought the guys in the band in on that one, so it was just great.
Awesome. This is Greg Hanna, and It's a Man's Job here on In the Country.
Daddy taught me how to swing a 20-ounce hammer, drive a nail through the center of a 2x4. And I used to make a living walking steel on a building, hanging tin on the edge of the 25th floor. Sweat, dirt, back hurts, all in a day's work any old boy could do. But baby, loving you is a man's job. 24/7, someone who'll be tough enough to take the heat is a man's job. You're the kind of woman that needs the kind of lover that a boy can't be. Looking at your girl, I see it's a man's job, a job for a man like me. These two hands have done a lot of hard work, but underneath the surface there's a tender touch. You can rest assured knowing if your heart's been broken, in a flash I can patch that baby right up. That same lame champagne, smooth-talking love game, that's what all the boys will do. They don't know loving you is a man's job. 24/7, someone who'll be tough enough to take the heat, it's a man's job. And you're the kind of woman that needs the kind of lover that a boy can't be. Looking at your girl, I see it's a man's job, a job for a man like me. No, baby, I don't mind putting in a little overtime. It's a man's job, and you're the kind of woman that needs the kind of lover that a boy can't be. Look
Country artist Greg Hanna, and It's a Man's Job here on In the Country. That is from his self-titled debut CD. You can head to greghanna.com, and there are links there to purchase the CD. Now, Greg, a really interesting thing, and I remember hearing about this at the time. You had a song cut by Sammy Kershaw.
You know, yeah, isn't that great? I mean, one of the guys that I'd been in Nashville for a good 3 or 4 years and had just moved the whole family, got married, moved the whole family down here to Nashville, and ended up getting on Nashville Star and being part of Nashville Star 3, and at the same time finding out that Sammy Kershaw cut my record. We didn't even pitch it to him. He just heard it through the wall at his agency and said, I need to cut that song. And I was like, woo, you know, I used to travel up and down the highway and learn his songs to play in the club. So, I mean, it was really cool.
Oh, amazing. Now, the song is called Miss What's Her Name from his album I Want My Money Back. So when you heard his version of it complete, it must have been a real thrill.
Well, it was just, you know, obviously we heard his cut before it hit radio, but, you know, just hearing, you know, Sammy's one of those guys, you know, he's got the voice of gold. So just to hear him sing on something that I actually created was obviously a life experience in itself.
Yeah. Now, can you take us back, Greg, to when you started writing your first few songs and how that sort of went for you? Was it something that came easy or did you have to work at it to get it to get your songs where you wanted them?
Very interesting. You know, growing up, my focus wasn't, you know, I really didn't want to be a hit songwriter. And I don't know if back then I even really, you know, really even thought about it. You know, I just wanted to be a star. You know, I wanted to stand on stage and do what everybody did that I saw on the Grand Ole Opry or on, you know, on TV or in concert. I wanted to be those people. And I knew there were hit songwriters out there that could write the hit songs. But, you know, it was 1 year at Country Music Week in Hamilton, Ontario. I did a showcase there, one of the CCMA showcases, and Tom Long, who is, you know, a real close friend of mine now over the years, used to work for Ann Murray's company, Baumer Publishing, here in Nashville. Him and one of his hot songwriters by the name of Kim Tribble were
right
in the back listening to me do my showcase, and, you know, all of a sudden I see the dance floor move open, people spread away because nobody's, you know, at a conference, everybody's just standing, nobody's dancing. And these two guys who I don't know bring their chairs over and sit them in front of the stage and just sit there, and, you know they're doing an adjudication while you're performing. And so I dug my heels in, and next thing you know, I was in Tom's office at Baumer here in Nashville. And he says, do you write music? And I said, well, you know, here and there. He said, well, you're going to learn how to write music, you know, the right way and yada, yada. And, you know, I started writing with Kim Tribble and the whole staff at Baumer, and that led to co-writes after co-writes. And from that point on, it was a learn-to-do-by-doing experience. And, you pick it up really fast. So I'm, you know, really happy that they instill that when you come to Music City, because it is definitely all about the song.
Yeah, and I guess they want to make sure that you as an artist can write your own stuff, so that I guess it gives a more personal touch, and I guess obviously by what you're saying is they believe an artist should do at least a fair amount of their own writing.
Well, I mean, for the public, they, you know, the reason a fan loves an artist is because of who they are and what makes them, and obviously that life experience and that makes a person who, you know, actually who they are as a being. So, you know, if you're writing from personal experience, you're basically telling stories about your life and how you became to be this person. So I think that's the personal touch.
And you had, I think if my estimation is correct, your four producers helping out on the CD, Kim Tribble, Buddy Cannon, Chris Farron, and Dave Kamulski, who is a Canadian, the last one on the list there. So we're all four of them doing a bit of producing?
They were. Well, you know, the different, because we put some old cuts, you know, we put some old singles of mine on there that had been out at radio, you know, obviously they had, there was obviously some prior producers there, but in the end, when we put the whole project together, you know, Dave Kalmuski, who has played guitar for me for a long time, you know, he's from Stratford, Ontario, it was he and I that actually, after we got the deal, I called him up and said, okay, we need to put this thing together. Here's these other songs. We need to recut this. And by the way, you and I are producing. So, you know, there's co-credits on there because, you know, most of the songs were recut, but we wanted to still honor the original producers on the songs.
Right. Now, earlier on, you talked about Dwight Yoakam, and I saw some information that he is your dream duet partner. Can you think of a song you guys would do together, or would you rather write something original?
Shoot, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, somebody asked me the other day, and I said, you know, maybe I've changed that to Carrie Underwood. I don't know. But anyhow, no, I'm just kidding. reason I said that as a dream duet partner is because, you know, Dwight Yoakam was the guy that I can't really say I tried to be whenever I was – you know, cutting my teeth in playing and learning country music and all that fun stuff. But he was probably, you know, back then, you know, you didn't have 25 hit artists that were putting new songs out every day. You know, it was like pulling teeth, waiting for the new thing to come, you know, the new album to come out by Johnny or by Johnny Cash or by Merle or, you know, this new guy, Dwight or Ricky Skaggs. I mean, there was only, each record label only had one hip artist that they were pumping at the time. So, I was always waiting for the Dwight Yoakam stuff, and he had that cool California-ish kind of, you know, a little right of center of country music. So that's kind of why, you know, kind of loved his thing. And, you know, obviously that's where the Buck Owens came from because, you know, he was always a big fan of Buck. So that's, you know, that's where that whole influence comes from. And shoot, I don't know which song I would have to do. It would have to be one of those things where, you know, we actually hung out for a bit and said, hey, how about this one? And I think that's where it comes from. I'd love to do the whole, I could do a duet with every song because I think I've sang every one, but that's another funny point.
That's terrific. Let's turn back to the music, Greg, and the current single, What Kind of Love Are You On?, which is at the top of the charts and everybody's singing along to it. Can you talk about the writing on this one? I know you had a hand in writing it along with a couple other fellas.
You know, it's funny. This song was one of those deals where, you know, a good friend of mine and co-producer Kim Tribble, he and I were writing one day, and he called me up and he says, hey, man, I'm going to pull David into this one. I said, you mean David Lee? And he says, yeah, man. He says, you know, yada, yada. And it was the first time I ever wrote with David Lee Murphy. And, you know, I'd hung out with him and, you know, toured with him in Canada, you know, at different times when he was playing in, you know, touring the 401 up and down in Ontario.
Yeah,
and we showed up, and of course, anytime you write with somebody of that stature, you have you want to show up with as much of your homework done as possible. So I actually driving to town that day, and I was thinking, you know, what we need to have something with that Bo Diddley groove. I haven't heard that in country music for a long time, or if I've ever heard it, you know, yada yada. So I get in, I said,
right.
How about, you know, like not like are you on drugs, but are you on love, like what kind of love are you on? And I remember David and Kim looking at each other, you know, with this look in their eyes, going, oh man, that's awesome. And you know, a couple hours later, ta-da, it was born.
Very cool. Now, when you heard this one on the radio, what was your reaction?
Wow, it's just, I mean, every time, I can't really say it's different for every single, every time I hear one of my, you know, something I created, but every one of my singles on the radio, it just, it's the drug that drives us artists to do what we do every day. It's the drug that allows us to be kicked in the face. Or slapped or put down or whatever, but get up and brush off the dirt and keep on going because it's that's the payback. When you get the chance to put a smile on a person, you know, a fan in the crowd that's listening to you perform, when I get a chance to put a smile on their face because of something I'm doing, that's the payback. When, you know, and when I turn on the radio and I crank and I hear the DJ say, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Hanna's new one, what kind of love are you on? And you know that there's people cranking at you, that's the payback. So I would have to say, you know, it's just an incredible feeling.
Terrific. Well, this is Greg Hanna and his latest single. It's a hot radio single doing so well called What Kind of Love Are You On? Here on In the Country.
The way I smile, they can't help but ask.
baby, lately that's all I wanna do. Yeah, you're all I want and nobody else. And I'ma feel like I can't help myself. What kind of
CMT, be sure to request the song at your local country station, and of course the video at CMT. And if you want to purchase Greg Hanna's CD, you can head to greghanna.com. Greg, it must be great when, as you mentioned, that idea, What Kind of Love Are You On, kind of fell out as you were thinking through that process. Do you have times, or do you have a system in place, or something you do to generate ideas? Do you sort of look through newspaper, get headlines, or how do you come up with ideas when you're not maybe necessarily focusing on it?
You know, I don't even know if it's whenever you're in the whenever it's what you do and you're in the middle of it. I may be in the middle of a conversation. It could be, you know, we could be talking right now and I just say something crazy or you do that'll spur something. I mean, it could be a drive down the road. It's one of those things where, you know, you just had to either have a really good memory or be able to jot something down. I don't think it's, you know, I really don't go in the paper or try and find something. I think that you know, it just kind of. It just comes to you, and you got to remember it. And then whenever it comes time to write, you know, you bounce your list of ideas off a writer, and then it's like, okay, let's that was really cool. And then you got to start trying to put a story around it.
Definitely, and I guess as you said, you've learned a lot from being in that room, in that situation with the other writers who have had more experience at the time when you were starting out. I guess you learned a lot from them.
Oh, man, let me tell you, I mean, Kim Tribble, I mean, he's written a ton of stuff, and I'm giving him a little bit of praise right now, so when he's listening, he better be smiling. But, you know, I will say this, Kim Tribble, there's two people that I attribute my art of writing or my craft to, and that would be Kim Tribble and a guy by the name of Jimbo Hinson, and they are good buddies and been writing for years, and Jimbo actually is, you know, written a bunch of Oak Ridge Boys hits that we all know. One of his big ones was Settin' Fancy Free, if you remember that song.
Yeah, and, I love that.
And obviously his big number one with Party Crowd by David Lee Murphy. So, I mean, that's two great songwriters that I got to, you know, hone in my craft with. And then, you know, whoever they had for co-writers, and then, you know, you just start writing with everybody, and it's one of those things where it just starts coming to you, and you're constantly thinking of ideas, and it's just, it's the electricity of this town too that does it to you. I mean, you're always on your toes and on your game.
Right. Now, you also started, I think this was in 2009, your own record label, Pheromone Records?
Yes, correct.
Now, what's that all about? That sounds pretty cool.
Well, you know, after years of flogging it, you know, in Nashville, you know, and you know, being on the verge of signing a brand new deal. I mean, shoot, I can tell you all kinds of stories about being right there, getting ready to sign the paper, and for whatever reason, the person that's your believer gets let go, and everything kind of falls apart. But it was a deal with one of the reps at Sony that called my manager one day and basically said, you know what, I know how we're going to get Greg Hanna a record deal. And, you know, it was all put into the process, and we actually get now, by starting up Pheromone, get a chance to be, you know, to be in the driver's seat. So we actually, it's not someone telling us how to do it. It's us saying, this is our next single, and you know, how are you guys at Sony and Megaforce going to help us get to this spot? You know, so it's we became part of the Sony family, and it's a great situation to be in.
Now, you talked about some covers, Dwight Yoakam, in that earlier during the show, and I also read that song you'd love to cover, He Stopped Loving Her Today. Of course, some say it's the number one country song of all time. It's got all the ingredients in it, and sung,
sure,
of course, by the great George Jones. Now, so do you think you could really sell that song? Not that I'm saying it as a question, but is that one that you really enjoy singing and putting that emotion into?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's one of those songs that I can say that ever since I heard it and learned how to play it eons ago, you know, I still love to perform, and I do it on stage anytime. If someone called it a request, I definitely do it. It's one of those songs you don't want to cover on record unless, of course, George is singing it with me. But it's one of those ones that it's kind of like the gospel that you don't cut it. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's no way you can beat the possum on that one.
That's right. Yep, you'll never live up to the comparison for sure.
Exactly.
It's such a great song. It just, as I said, it's got all the ingredients in there. It's got the sad ending and the endless love of the character in it. Do you have other favorite cover songs that you love to do?
Oh, you know, that's a good one. You know, I'm not quite sure which ones would be my favorite. I'll pull. You know, Waylon Jennings' Ain't Living Long Like This is usually a staple in my show whenever I do it because, I mean, Waylon was a rocker at heart, so I just love to, you know, love to put my own little twist on that song. So that's one that people usually hear if they're at a Greg Hanna show, you know, all the originals.
Okay.
And definitely that one, you know, we used to open the show with that song. So that's definitely one of those ones.
Okay, terrific. In our remaining moments, Greg, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about Hanna Mania. Now, this is, I guess, represents sort of your fans and their passionate devotion to your music and following you. But did you have a message for your fans who follow your career and just love hearing your music?
Well, I always tell everyone, Dave, that as soon as you hear a Greg Hanna record or on the radio, or you put the CD in or you come to a show, you are automatically a Hanna maniac. And for all the Hanna maniacs out there, you know, for as long as there are people out there that are willing to listen and smile and turn up the radio or turn up their stereo because they're listening to a Greg Hanna record, Greg Hanna will be making, you know, fun music for you to listen to for a long, long time.
That is awesome, Greg. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you. I want to throw out a thank you to Linda Ewing for getting things rolling here and setting things up with the show. It's great to share your music. I've heard your songs on the radio for the last several years. Really enjoyed them. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thanks so much, Dave. Obviously, for the listeners out there that aren't already Hanna maniacs, you can go to greghanna.com and click on all the buttons there, you know, for your Twitter, Facebook, you know, all that fun stuff. It's all there. Obviously, you can purchase the record, you know, anywhere online, but, you know, obviously, you know, you can get it on iTunes or wherever you want. If you can't find it anywhere, just go to greghanna.com and send us an email. We'd love to talk to you and help you out.
That sounds good. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Dave, thanks a lot. It was fun, and we'll do it again real soon.
That sounds good to me. My guest today has been country artist Greg Hanna, and he joined me on the line from Nashville. If you want to comment on this show, you can email me at inthecountry@mail.com. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best.